Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
All right, man. Yo, what's up, everybody? You know, this is the Listen Up Podcast. As always, I'm Brandon.
This is your boy, Sam.
Hey, man, and we back at it again, man. We're going to dive into this spring practice, man. There's a lot of different elements. There's a lot of things we don't heard, a lot of things we've seen on the timeline, and we're going to kind of break down each part of it and get y'all thoughts on it, because I promise you, man, we definitely have some thoughts. I feel like, Sam, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like as it goes on, we keep looking more and more right, even though we were told we were more and more wrong at the beginning of this. Well, you know, I was told they was winning 9 and 10 games, and they was – we were back, and it was all good just a week ago. I mean, like it was a week ago. Everybody was telling, you know, again, recruiting has changed, and that's been on the uptick or whatever, and it looks good. But I mean, from what we've been hearing from not just this last scrimmage, but from the previous scrimmage and from some other stuff, I got a little bit of concerns, man. But I mean, you ready to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I got a Reggie crazy to my don't scream on the roller coaster. Yeah, man, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, why they got all these dumbass rules, bro? Like, just let people do what they want to do, bro.
Don't scream on the roller coaster.
Yeah,
man. That's crazy.
Yeah, just, but
stop pretending. Just stop pretending, man.
Yeah, let's stop. Let's open this shit up, man. All right, yeah, so I think what's going on now is like the big people that cover FSU are done trying to sell hope, right? They're done with that. Like, I think, and also I think Norvell has probably told them, like, let's tone down these expectations a little bit too. You know what I'm saying?
To cover himself?
Yeah, bro. Like, tone that shit down, bro. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, people felt like, oh, we got the number one transfer list, which I didn't believe that either, because I thought the Gators actually brought in a better transfer list personally. So I felt like they brought a better transfer list in. But I think another thing was I do think it was a good idea to sell the idea of Milton coming in to be the savior, because that gives you uptick in recruiting to get better transfers and to make the place seem a little bit better, to be like, hey, we got Milton coming in, he can be a national championship quality quarterback, and everything's gonna be great because he's back, 100% healthy and everything. But at the end of the day, like, he's not going to save FSU because FSU doesn't have the offensive line that he's going to need. You know what I'm saying? Personally, I don't think we have great running backs. I think we got decent running backs, very average running backs. So, and Milton's behind everybody. And your best playmaker is Jordan Travis. So, you're going to put your best playmaker on the bench?
Again, it sounds very familiar, because we had, like, all the problems that we saw 6 months ago, it seemed like everybody forgot about it, right? Everybody forgot about it. Everybody decided, oh, they just have selective memories,
right?
Because nothing really had changed, right? Mm-hmm. They brought in some transfers, which I was never high on the list. There was a couple players that we thought were good, but as a whole, we never said, all right, this man, they really have overhauled this roster. Because we didn't still feel like they didn't address the needs that they should have addressed.
Well, we felt like they didn't replace the guys. They didn't replace the guys. They didn't replace the quality that they lost, right?
Right.
And people were saying pretty much good riddance with the guys that was leaving. You know what I'm saying? So with that, you got to then change your expectations of what you're watching and what you're looking at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think last year there was an article that came out that said FSU was a young team. They had a lot of young guys playing. Well, that's because the older guys checked out and they don't want to play anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why that was. But going into that season, FSU actually had a veteran-laden team game one against Georgia Tech. So those guys checked out on you. So your first job when you get on a job like FSU is to recruit the guys that you got, right? You gotta recruit the guys that you got. That's the first thing you do. Well, we failed at doing that, right? So then as the season rolled on, you kept hearing things like certain guys are going to come back because they bought in now. The guys that still playing, they bought in. and they're going to come back. And those guys went pro. Janaris Robinson, Kando went pro. Emmett came back, which I feel sorry for Emmett because he got hurt. It's terrible for him. You know what I'm saying? And I think that now that we're looking at this, everybody, and I think the fact that the media is looking at these practices, and when you just oppose those practices to what you've seen in 2014, even 2015, 2015 was not a great team. 2016, not a great team. But when you look at that, just opposed to this, what you're looking at now, you realize this team probably can't beat the 2016 team, 2015 team.
I don't even think it's close.
I think there, had been a complete dog fight with the 2018 team. And the 2018 team was terrible.
It's a talent gap. It's a big talent gap. And I think that's what people are seeing now. You know what I mean? I think I look at it and I say, oh, well, the offensive line is not very good. Right. Of course, the offensive line is not very good.
It's never been good.
It ain't been good for a long time. Yeah. Like, this ain't new. Allen Atkins was basically, like, holding together a unit that wasn't very good. That's why we kept highlighting what a great job he was doing. Mm-hmm. Because we knew there was a talent deficiency on that roster. So then we look at it and we say, man, these guys are actually serviceable. That spoke to what a good job he was doing. It didn't speak to the fact that, hey, they now have a bunch of talent over there, and they still don't.
Right.
I think you got some pieces, but you don't have a complete offensive line. When you looked at it, you say, okay, what did they bring in transfer portal? Still not enough.
But now, you know what's crazy? What's crazy, though, I think this offensive line is better than the 2018 offensive line on the Taggart first year, right? Yeah. I think they're better than that offensive line.
I think they're better coached than that offensive line.
And we know they're better coached, right? I think on the whole, we can say that this team is going to be a better coached team than the 2018 team, right?
Right.
I would say that. I would probably other than defense, because I think Harlan Barnett is actually better than Fuller.
Which, I don't even think that's a question, but
I mean, ahead. But we split between shitty and shitter. So I mean, it ain't like, you know what I'm saying? So I think, but the biggest problem we're gonna have going into the season is with the 2018 team actually had some playmakers, Cam Akers, you know, he had Nooney, DJ Matthews. You guys would scare a defense if you could get enough time. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody tell y'all. They could put all the articles they want on Josh Burrell. I was talking to somebody about this last night because they was telling me they watched practice. They was like, why they keep talking about Josh Burrell? I said, Josh Burrell, in time, might be a good player. You know what I'm saying? In time. But in my opinion, just looking at his body type and watching his highlights, that guy is a 20-catch, 500-yard, 5-4 touchdown, a season type guy. You know what I'm saying? He's a good player. He's going to make plays. I don't think he's better than Willie Halstead. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm being honest with you. Like, I'm just looking at these players and just evaluating.
Hey, man, Sam woke up this morning and chose violence, y'all.
No, man, it ain't even using violence. I'm just being real. Like, you know. For instance, because I was talking to the guy about this. He said, well, Josh Real is strong and he works hard. And I said, yeah, he's a great guy to have in a locker room. But if you look at his highlights, he's not a runaway from anybody in high school, right?
Yeah. No, he's not Rashad Green. I think a lot of people came in expecting, we found a Rashad Green or something.
Right. So I said,
coming as a freshman and have an immediate impact. That's not what you get.
But I think with him is he's going to have to learn how to be a tactician, right? He's going to have to learn how to use his body, how to create separation, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of things he's going to have to learn because he's not going to be able to run away from guys.
But we talked about it, right? So look at, all right, so what we heard from yesterday's scrimmage was wide receivers dropped a lot of balls, couldn't get separation, and didn't make plays.
Well, that's what we saw last year.
explain to me what's different about that. I mean, where's the difference at? Like, and that's what when we talk about, man, we've been saying you got to adjust the expectations. You got to adjust, like, win totals aren't going to be what this season is made about. Right. So if you expected 8, 9, 10 wins, you're wrong. If they get them, great, but I doubt very seriously y'all. You have to look at them 4 to 5, maybe 6 wins and try to find some, I guess, something favorable to look at in some of them losses. Okay, well, you know, this guy improved. This guy flashed a little bit. They played a little better. The offensive line is starting to gel together. And you want to be playing your best football at the end of the season when you're playing some of your tougher competition. And I think if you can say that, then maybe it'll look a little different. Because, again, wide receivers aren't, we don't have any. Burrell, not then nobody else on that roster can.
Well,
make,
okay, so I
changed capable my, of making plays, and nobody scares the defense. Well, you don't got nobody to take the top off of defense.
Can McClain? Well, you're gonna get Parchman. I think Parchman gonna be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most of the balls go to Parchman during these games. You know, if
the bubble
if,
screen's only gonna work, but so much.
Though. Yeah, but I'm saying I think Jordan Travis gonna be a better pass this year. So I think the bubble screens and they'll find a way to get the ball to Parchman. McClain, I think towards the end of the season, because I think McClain's actually better than Burrell. I don't think it's really close. And I think eventually McClain will start making plays later on in the season. But I think the bigger problem you got is the bigger problem I think you have is what can your offensive line do in pass protection, right? What can your offensive line do in pass protection? And you know, that's going to dictate a lot of things. And if you don't have a wide receiver to take the top off the defense, that means the defense going to creep up closer and closer to the line of scrimmage and make it hard for you. So that's ugly, man. And, man, y'all got jokes this morning, boy.
Yeah.
Y'all alone this morning.
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing, man. So I looked at – we said, I think, earlier that if this team wins games, it's going to have to be running the football and Jordan Travis making plays.
Right.
The problem is everybody kind of is expecting Milton to come in and be the starter. But again, based on reports in practice,
right?
Not only is Jordan Travis ways ahead of Milton,
right?
Rotemaker is also ways ahead of Milton.
And I'm
again, this is not my words. I'm just telling you what was said. They say he's ways ahead of. So when I look at Jordan Travis and now Rotemaker, we assume that it was a two-horse race, but now you tell me Rotemaker is also better than Milton. We know
if Rotemaker's ahead of him, he's not gonna play because Rotemaker's not good. All right. So
that's my point. It's like, not the Jordan Travis. I expected Jordan Travis to be in a dogfight with him. The Rotemaker is what threw me because I was like, wait a minute, Rotemaker's not very good.
Right.
So when I look at it and I say, wait, Rotemaker's also ahead of Milton, but not just ahead of Milton. The word ways in there. And that's where I said, wait a minute, man. Like, at this point, Milton is just a good locker room guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a guy to kind of, you know, hold the team together. He's been a part of some. He bring good pedigree. But you're not looking at a guy to actually start and play games for you. And that's because I'm looking at it and I'm saying, well, I appreciate you coming. But, again, fans were under the impression that Milton was coming in to save the day. And now we are, you know, we'll see what happens at the spring game, but at this point in the spring, you have two quarterbacks, one of which who we know is not very good, are now ways ahead of them. And I look at that and I say, that's not very good for Milton, and it's not very good to kind of, I think, what the fan base had as expectations for this team. Right. So I'm not sure I feel very good about this. Well, I never felt good about this season, but I can tell you, I mean, seeing what we see now and hearing what we're hearing, I don't feel any better about where the season's headed.
Right. I mean, I'm still excited for the season because I think there's a chance that they get better, that we see some young guys. But I think what people – you brought in a terrible recruiting class. That terrible recruiting class is not going to make plays in their first year. This isn't Alabama-type recruits. You know, Alabama get guys and Georgia get guys that come in by game three. They're making plays like that. That's not the type of level of recruits that we brought in. And I like Destin Hill. I think Destin Hill is a fast guy, but I think learning a wide receiver position at this level is probably just as hard as becoming a great quarterback at this level. You know what I'm saying? Wide receiver is a tough position.
It's tough,
right? So
it's tough because of the physicality of it, right? Like, right. Yeah, think about it, right? There's a difference between the ages of 22 and 18. You know what right. I mean? You bring that 18-year-old having to go up against, you know, even Wake Forest. You know what I mean? You put those – because Wake Forest guys don't go early. So you're looking at basically grown men over there. So you're looking at the physicality between the 22-year-old and that 18-year-old. It makes a difference. Right. And so it's difficult for those freshmen to come in and make plays. And then when you already are not, you know, a five-star, top-rated, you know what I mean, freak athlete,
right,
man, you're going to struggle. Those guys who come in and make plays are highly recruited guys who have been making plays already.
And this right here, this is a good point right here. Do we trust Dugans to get these freshman wide receivers ready to go by game three, game four?
Man, we were told last year Dugans had checked out. I mean, we was on last year Dugans and checked out. I guess we sat quiet on it for a little bit, but I mean, we may have talked about it. Maybe we didn't know. I mean, this is not. I mean, we were told last year, we got, you know, from anonymous sources or whatever, Dugans ain't invested in this team at all. And so, and you could see it from his wide receiver group, and you could see it from the wide receiver play that Dugans really, his unit really struggled. And now you hear his unit is still struggling. So now I'm like, well, his unit was struggling last year. His unit struggling this year. And I'm supposed to believe that Dugan's supposed to get everybody up. You know what I mean? He's supposed to get these freshmen up to speed to be able to make difference, to make plays.
Right.
Which means now we're looking at the same offense we had last year with Jordan Travis and running game. And what we've seen is after a while, it gets real easy to defend. Right. Because now, if you're telling me, all right, well, sure, you ain't got nobody to throw the ball to, and we don't respect none of your wide receivers, and even if your receivers do somehow get open, we don't expect them to catch the football.
Right.
Man, we got 9 guys in the box. If y'all can run on that, hey, hats off to you. And that's what they did against Duke, because they had better talent than Duke. So against Duke, all right, we're going to line up 9 in the box, and we're going to just outrun it.
Right.
That ain't going to work against some of the other teams.
I mean, so, okay, so when we go from – okay, now let's flip to the other side of the ball, right? I actually thought with Emmitt Rice and Amari Gaynor as your two middle, as your two linebackers, I thought maybe you had a chance, even though I don't like Amari Gaynor at linebacker where he's at. Ingram actually disagrees with me on that point, but we can agree to disagree on that, and I'm fine with that. I think Ingram got a good point too, also. You're not going to take advantage of Amari Gaynor's athleticism. Right. So,
right.
And he's going to have to learn how to play that linebacker role, which I think he'll be more like a Will type guy. You know, he won't be in the middle. But now you lost Emmitt, who I thought Emmitt was playing good going into the end of the season last year. I thought Emmitt was playing good.
I mean, a freshman got to step up.
Now we're going to put a slow footed linebacker out there, which is going to be Dix. And I know everybody likes Dix, and I like Dix too. Dix is not very fast. He's not very instinctual. Right. So he's got a. He's going to have to get better at playing linebacker. He's got to get more instinctual at playing linebacker. I know, man. I'm being real negative today. I hate that. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I just got to say
no, man. Listen.
We watched him last year. And I mean, we watched him shoot the wrong gaps. We watched him run into blocks. And
I mean, but we talked about it. We talked about it when we did the interview. The middle linebacker has to be instinctual. You can't guess. And so because it puts everybody else in a bad position.
Right.
And so we felt like Emmitt, at least we knew he was.
Well, Emmitt had played enough football, right?
I was going to say, we knew that Emmitt most of the time was in the right position and would get downhill and trigger and hit. So we knew, all right, this guy, if he can take that next step up, all right, he'll be great.
Right.
And that'll help shore up that middle linebacker position. Now you got somebody else who you don't trust. And when you put Dix in there, it's.
And then
it's a lot of guessing. And so I guess my hope is that, hey, you know, they can work with him, get him up to speed, and maybe he can do, you know, it'll come a little bit more naturally to him now that he's played a little bit more. But right now, man, I don't feel very good about the middle linebacker position.
Yeah, and I don't feel good.
I didn't feel good about the defense as a whole to begin with. Yeah. I feel even worse now. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have any faith that the defense was going to be, you know, much improved. So now I'm looking at them saying, what do we have now? Because it's going to look a whole lot like, in my opinion, I think it's going to look a whole lot like last year, where you got a lot of untouched running backs going to the end zone right up the middle of your hole. And we saw that. And a lot of that, if you look at it, was because that middle linebacker was in the wrong gap. And now he's off to the races, one-on-one with the safety. And them running backs are good enough. Average running backs are good enough to beat that safety one-on-one.
Yeah, I think when we get to talk about that defense and what that – like, from what I heard, they're going to play more of a 4-2-5, which is what Marv and what Woodson is used to coaching in.
Yep.
But that's not what Fuller is used to calling. So we're going to see how that works. So that means Marv and Woodson going to have more input on the game plan and the calls going into the games, which I'm actually okay with. But that does kind of bother me a little bit, because it's like, you know.
Well, let me ask you this then. So do you think that Fuller is just a figurehead at this point?
I think Fuller's like, going to
In yeah, like games, he's the assistant coach. Like in other words, he's there, but he's like the assistant to like somebody. Like in other words, we got what the defense coordinator by committee. Yeah. Like everybody gonna kind of have their input, and you here because we couldn't fire you because we ain't had the money. But at the end of the day, we're gonna start, I guess, removing some of your decision making. We're gonna start removing some of your decision making capabilities. Cause I think it says when you tell me, all right, they're running a 4-2-5, even though Fuller's not used to calling it. To me, it says we don't really care what you got going on. We got to do what's best for like these other guys. They seem to maybe be a little bit smarter than you. So we got you here just kind of as, you know.
So I'm going to put Fuller on fire watch after the UNC game on October 9th. I'm going to put him on fire watch October 9th. That's going to be the game that I think we'll, because we got a bye week the next week.
Oh,
I think that's the game. I'm putting them on, fire watch.
When UNC treat us like Miami, when UNC got two backs over 300 yards, yeah. That's gonna be the straw. Okay, yeah, it's a bye week. You can go ahead and go.
All right. Here's some adjustments. So let's get away from spring practice because it's a shit show. But I'm gonna be at the spring game. I'm gonna be getting lit. Yeah, everybody should join.
Hop
in. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be a great time. I'm gonna be out there.
Listen, I got a 5-hour drive ahead of me, man. One of our listeners invited me, you know, me and my girl to dinner or whatever. So they was like, all right, hey, we taking you out to dinner. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll make the trip, you know, free meal. Not to mention, you know, I can't wait to see some of these fans up close. Not to mention, I think it might be a few fights from what I heard. So I'm always here for that.
Ain't nobody finna do nothing at that spring game, bro. Everybody gonna clap hands, say what's up, like they always do, bro. Like that's how I go, bro.
It's a lot of cap, I know, but hey, just in case somebody decide to get, you know, maybe somebody have a couple cups of Hennessy. You know, Hennessy usually bring it out of, you know what I mean? Maybe some folks will get some Hennessy in their system, and then you know, hey, they may decide to pop off some. I mean, I'll be there for the fireworks, man.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you right now, I pay too much money in taxes to be fighting, so I'm calling the police. But
I gave a fight when I hit 30. When I hit 30, I gave up that tag. I almost got into one. Matter of fact, I almost got in one on spring break. I'll tell you about that one. I'll tell you about that one off the podcast. I nearly fought this doggone dude outside the water park. But anyway, but no, man, I gave up fighting at 30, man, so I ain't doing it. But you know, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna definitely be there, man, just to take you in the sights. Let's just call it that. We'll be able to take it to sites. But
So the next topic I want to talk about was people got upset about me and my Nate Andrews take. My Nate Andrews situation. I was upset about Nate because I wanted Nate on the staff. I really did. I wanted Nate on the staff. I thought it was good to have a former player, especially that had won a national championship on the staff. I thought that was a good sign. And I thought hiring people independent of the coach relationship to that player, to the, that person, was actually a good idea because that's somebody that could be here for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and develop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was a little upset about that.
Not only that, he's a guy who's invested in your program. This is a guy who went 4 years. He watched this. We watched him grow and improve as a player, so he can speak to some of that growth. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I mean, he. You want somebody, we were happy for him because he brings somebody on your staff who knows how to win. You know what I mean? And so who also can reach some of these players in the state of Florida. We've talked about these Florida ties. We've had this conversation about, you know, connections to the state of Florida. And here's a guy who had those ties. You put out the post. I'm gonna let you speak. I mean, I'm gonna let you speak to everybody being upset about it, and then you know, two, why do you feel like it was a big deal?
It's just the fact that if you wasn't gonna hire him and pay him, then don't bring him anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't bring him. Like, don't even start that. Don't even roll that ball down the hill. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not gonna stay on that too long, but I'm just saying I just didn't like the look of that. It just reeked of just dysfunction, and once again we back miscommunicating again. And you know, and Nate from Alabama, so he's, you know, he understands the I-10 corridor. So I thought that was would have been a great hire to have behind the scenes and developing coaches that's from FSU. I thought it'd have been a good idea. I mean, I don't know if Nate gonna be a defensive coordinator one day, but you know, you never know. You never know down the road what you got. You know, he could have called LaMarcus Joyner back down. Maybe LaMarcus Joyner would have slapped somebody for us. You know what I'm saying? But I know you want to touch on Doak Campbell, the name change.
I mean, our timeline, our fan base, I ain't gonna say the timeline, our fan base is very, I'm trying to figure out the right word. They're sentimental. Let's go with that. They're very sentimental, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought when they first said, all right, we're gonna get rid of it, and they were gonna change, you know, they were thinking about changing the name. I was like, oh, it'll never happen. So then when the votes came in, I said, okay, great. Because I think, man, you talked about it a while back. Man, put those naming rights up and make some money. Right now, we're in the middle of, I guess, some of the, I guess we talk from a profit standpoint. Mm-hmm. Stadiums are at, you know, quarter capacity. Nobody's been able to really come to games. Nobody was at games last season. You had the NCAA tournament canceled for basketball. At this point, the school needs money.
Right.
So I looked at it and I said, take the emotions out of it. Take whatever you feel about Dope Campbell and all that. Like, take all that out of it. And just look at it from a business standpoint. Your program needs money. You got facilities that are unfinished and that need to break ground.
Right.
Man, Amazon, Samsung, whoever wanted to put their name on the stadium, you know what I mean? Let them put their name on the stadium and bring some money into a program that needs money.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to get out of the sentimentality of, all right, we want, you know, I mean, well, Doak was this, and I was there when Doak played, and this, I don't care.
Well, I mean,
like, it's okay, and I'm glad for him, and he, you know, always be a part of Florida State history the same way some of these other people will always be a part of Florida State history. But at the same time,
hold on, Brandon, do you know who Doak Campbell is?
Nope, don't care. Listen, man, I'm 37 years old. I don't have the ties to, I don't have the, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have I'm also not sentimental. So I don't really have ties to people like that. So I don't care.
So you don't know who Doak Campbell is?
Nope.
Okay.
Break the history down.
All right. So the first time the Doak Campbell conversation ever started, and I'm going to give this guy credit. The first time the conversation ever started was because of Jason Staples.
Mm-hmm.
From the Unconquered podcast. He was the first person to start this conversation. The very first person. Nobody even knew this shit.
Okay.
So, Doak Campbell, he was the first president a president of Florida State.
Right.
When it was just women's college, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know that much. Yeah.
Right. So he was against integration, basically, right? He was against integration, right?
Yeah.
He had very loud vocal opinions about integration and everything like that. So that's where that conversation like actually came from and whatnot.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something when you said, do you know Doak? Okay.
No, because you said play for the school.
No, I'm talking in general. I'm talking I'm not talking about Doak specifically. I'm talking in general. I'm saying like we have too much sentimentality to some of like these players and somebody like just people in general. It don't matter what you've done for the school. It don't matter what you've done. Like, I'm not tied to people. I'm more tied to business. And so you tell me what make money. And I think from an economic standpoint, I don't care about the person. Right. I don't care, like, regardless of who it is. I was speaking more along from a Bobby Bowden standpoint. I know people are hard on Bobby or whatever. And as much as I love and respect Bobby for everything he's done and, you know, all the national championships and winning, if they decided, hey, Bobby Dame can't be on the field no more because people mad at him because for whatever reason, I'm not going to feel bad about it, especially if you tell me there's money that can be made on it. So from a Doak Campbell standpoint, it's the same concept.
Right.
Listen, there's a guy who has ties to the school who who has said some objectionable stuff. I'm trying to put it as mild as possible. Who has done some things and still some things that everybody can say are most rational people can say he shouldn't have done. And so at this point, all right, man, you got to go. And so, all right, cool. The times have changed. You have to go now. I don't have the sentimentality in the sense of, oh, how dare he was our first president. He did. I don't care about that.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, from a business standpoint, right now, if you tell me you can do two things, you can get rid of something that was not necessary. If you can get rid of something that was a stain, let's say, on the university, as people look back on it, the same reason why people are changing, they changed Nathan Bedford Forrest High School to Westside High School in Jacksonville. Right. You can right or wrong, right? So, okay, if you tell me you can right or wrong, but you also can make money off of it, man, give me the money.
yeah, I think what I do find interesting is I do find interesting how the foundation of like white supremacy is like everywhere. Like I'm just like, because I found the thing about Dope Campbell for Jason Staples, I was like, damn, I didn't even know that. You know what I'm saying? That I looked it up, I'm like, damn, that's crazy, right? So in my opinion, it makes sense to change the name. I think it is just like the right thing to do, right? Because you're a more inclusive college regardless. I mean, FSU have a great soccer team that has, you know, all types of cultures within it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think propping up some of these symbols are good. But another thing, I think I remember PK Sam was talking about it also, about how I guess he did know about it. He felt some type of way about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But so, I mean, yeah, PK also talked about, and that's why
I don't want to get included. Into that. I don't want to get into that conversation.
That's why I included, like, you know, Bobby into it, because he felt so, you know, people have expressed certain concerns about, again, I'm not in favor of changing or whatever. And me and PK would disagree on that one. But in my opinion, I mean, because I don't think you should, you know, change based on people's political views. I mean, he has the right to vote for whoever he want to vote for. Right. That's, you know, that's our own difference of opinions or whatever. So I don't feel like, you know, I didn't feel like that way other people felt, you know, people felt. I'm just talking about, again, from a standpoint of, I don't feel people like that. You know what I mean? Like, we have to, I think, at this point, get out of the idea of, hey, we got ties to this person, especially in a situation where the program is not making, I mean, the school is not making the money that they were making, you know, 2 years ago.
Right.
You've had to cancel sports. You've had to, again, you limited capacity. We got an NCAA tournament with no fans in it. We have, like, everything is, like, people are losing money. Schools are losing money. We have programs that just came, but, like, you know, what is it? What conference is that? The MEAC or whatever? Mm-hmm. Whoever Savannah State's playing, like, they're just not playing football because they pushed their whole season back. You know what I mean? That means for that whole time, they didn't make money. And that's not just, like, that's a lot. We had games canceled. You know what I mean? What do we have? Three, four games canceled? This same way, same thing in basketball. We had, you know, several home games canceled in basketball.
Right.
Those are all the things that the school would have made money on. Right. And so when I look at it and I say, take the money. You know what I mean? Like, you get – it works both ways. We get a chance to you know, get somebody off the school who – I mean, get some a name off the school that's tied to some things that we know are not good. And then we also get a chance to maybe sell the naming rights and maybe make some money and recoup, I guess, some of the losses that we lost over these last couple of years.
Right, right. I think that's – It's – I think it's touchy. I personally changed the name.
Don't be sentimental about it, though, man.
But I
don't think it is touchy. If you get past the idea of, you know, whatever you feel about, like, the people who are up in arms about it are up in arms because they're nostalgic. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's nostalgic. I think it's. I think people feel attacked that these things that people hold up are being attacked. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
that's a whole other one. That's another bridge in the gap conversation.
Right.
Yeah, that's another bridge in the gap conversation.
I think that's what that is. But because you got even some black fans that are like, you know, I don't know Dope Campbell. So what? Keep the name. I like the name. I love the name. You know what I'm saying? Don't change the name. You know.
You talking about Derek?
Not saying who said it, just saying you got people that say that shit.
Hey, man, that was a shot, man. I ain't need to take that shit. Nah, but listen, man, some of our fans have some wild views on things, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so I guess at this point we'll start taking some questions. So y'all start following the questions in and we'll start taking questions.
Cubby asked about Rice, did Rice tear his ACL or no? He's read conflicting reports.
I heard that he maybe tore his ACL or he pulled his ACL. It's something with the ACL. It was something with the ACL. Like,
see, that makes a big difference, right? And so, that's what I was going to ask you. But not only that, it doesn't make a big difference. I mean, I saw it, like, you're talking about 7 months to September. People come back from ACLs a whole lot faster than they did beforehand.
Well, if it's no damage within the knee. and it's just ACL, he can come back.
Kind he of. Can be back 6 to 8. Now, again, does he want to be back in 6 to 8? You know what I mean? Depending on what the season is or whatever. Like, if, you know, we get into September, October, and, you know, they don't look very good. I don't know if he necessarily wants to come back or not, or if he wants to just get into the, you know, NFL training program. But what I will say is, if he can get back 6 months, you know what I mean? If it's a pull, it's not nearly as bad. He can come back in, you know, 6-7 months by September. I mean, season starts September. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, September, it gives a few weeks to get back in shape. Maybe, you know, week 3 or week 4, he can be back in the game. And that's the one thing I did think about when I was like, well, we still, you know, a good 6-7 months away.
Yeah, but the person I talked to didn't feel so good about it. Well, again, the person I talked to, I don't know.
Everything I've seen has said he's basically done.
But they wasn't. The person I talked to is not on campus though. So I told him, yeah, let's be careful with that because I don't know either. I mean, unless you sitting there looking at the knee damage, I mean, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
And we'll wait for more information. You know what I mean? But if they come back and you know they say it's a pulled or whatever, they're gonna have to go and scope it or whatever. I mean, that's a big difference. You know what I mean? That's a big difference than them having an actual torn ACL.
But I think the other part of Kobe Knowles question is what does the linebacker rotation look like without him? So you know it's gonna be Gaynor, Dix. I don't think Lundy is a linebacker, man. Maybe on goal line situations, maybe. I think you're going to have to find a way to play. Hold on, I want to pull this up because I know I looked at it earlier today.
While you're talking about it, I honestly think your defensive line play can really help out those linebackers. That's one of the things I meant to talk about earlier was I think if we look at that defensive line, if that defensive line is a little better than what they were last year, I mean, you're able to get more pressure off the edge. You're able to get more push in the middle. It does help those linebackers out a little bit, especially if you're losing Rice. You know what I mean? If Rice doesn't come back, if you can slow those guys down, because they were running through massive holes. We watched Marvin Wilson get pushed around a lot, and that basically set those linebackers up one-on-one, and they was already picking the wrong holes. So a lot of those untouched touchdowns was because that defensive line play was also not very good. So, you know, let's hope we can get some improved defensive line play, and that does help those linebackers out a little bit.
Okay, so I just looked at this depth chart. It's not looking good, people.
I mean, you have to look that up to know that.
You know how you don't really realize till you actually look at it. Like I was okay, Kevon Glenn's gone. Javion McCluster, Jael McCray. The McCray thing is interesting to me because I thought Jael was playing good before he just got benched and everything. And I think but the thing I keep hearing about him is that, you know, sometimes he has a tendency to not, you know, be focused and give everything he should in practice. You know what I'm saying? But I think instinctually, as a zone linebacker, I've seen him play pretty good in that. You still got Kalen DeLoach. You got DeLoach. I don't know where he's going to play at. Like, is he going to play the middle? Like,
that's been the thing. I guess that's really been the question. You know, I mean,
We don't want to see Brooks on the field at all. Right?
You're not asking me. That's to the audience. I would never want to see Brooks on the field. I ain't even respond like that. You know, good. Like I was assuming that was to the Cubby. He's talking to you on that one. I like you. You know damn well we want to see Brooks on that field. If Brooks on the field, we in bad shape if Brooks in that field. Cubby may need to find room for a transfer linebacker. We only got one spot left, and that's for the left tackle. So I mean, I don't know about finding room for a transfer linebacker, and I don't think that's going to be their priority, honestly. I think they roll out with who they got.
Yeah, just look at this, the recruit and the guys we brought in. None of these guys can play middle, so Patrick Payton ain't going to play until like year two and a half, like year one and a half. Shaheen Brown, year one and a half. Jordan Eubanks, well, we know how we feel about Jordan Eubanks.
Yeah, no, I mean, in other words, you don't have anybody who's gonna come in and play day one.
Not a lot of hope in the middle.
Again, like I said, I think we're asking a lot of people who has not shown us that they're on their game.
Brooks is still there. Brooks is still there. He won't graduate. Won't do it.
Well, like, yeah, and that's all I'm gonna say, Dante, is I think it's trying to figure out the scheme, right? And I think they really do put a lot more onus on the defensive line to kind of help the linebackers out. You know what I mean? I can't see them. I know who we asked. Yeah. Again, like I said, we asking for faith in people who I don't think deserve a lot of it. Yeah. But I just don't see any other options, right? Because at this point, we're going to ask a guy who is slow-footed, inexperienced, and not instinctual to play linebacker.
Right.
It's not really a good recipe for good things. So at this point, you got to say, okay, well, we got at least got some veterans on the we got some veterans on the D line. Let's hope we can get some, you know, good play out of those guys, and maybe they can, you know, help that run, you know, help them run, help slow the run down a little bit. Again, I have very little faith in the defense. I'm gonna be honest with you. I keep trying to like spin it, but I don't feel good about the defense at all. Mainly because Fuller is still there. And two, because there's just not a lot of talent.
Well, you
outside of the DBs and safeties position. Yeah. I don't, and where I do think is a lot of talent there. I think, you know, highly recruited guys there. Now, how they're coached is a different story, but you got talent there.
Yeah.
Outside of that back half of the defense, that front seven, man, is
yeah, I think, but
it's tough. I mean,
when you talk about the linebackers, it's just, what are those? I guess the biggest problem is, what do you fit the piece? What are the pieces fit at?
Well, they don't. Like, you're going to have to put guys in positions. We've seen again last year, you're going to have to put guys in positions where they may not be natural at, but they're going to be the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing you can do. You know what I mean? Like, my hope is, you know, it's not that bad for Amon Rice. He comes back, and then we can avoid this conversation. But,
we was going to be bad even with Amon Rice.
Yeah, I know it, but at least – listen, we've seen Emmett make plays. We've seen Emmett make plays at the line of scrimmage and behind the line of scrimmage. We've seen him in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm visualizing Dix running like through a gap, through a hole that nobody asked him to run through. Like, I see it. Like, you know what I mean? I can picture the play of him going for some reason, you know, like in a gap that nobody asked him to cover. And meanwhile, the running back is now taking the other gap. Or a jump cut out of that gap and into another one, and now there's nobody there, and he's off for 67 yards. I mean, we've seen it a lot last year. So now you tell me we're going to have a full season of that?
Right. Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
That's not what excited. That's what I'm saying. I'm just not excited about it. And now when we think about the I think when we think about the offense and how limited they may be at wide receiver –
yeah, so TJ Davis, they basically got him playing defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's at, which is actually kind of weird because when you look at TJ Davis' body build, I want to pull this up to make sure I got this right. He's 6'3", 250, but somebody told me his arms are not very long, so I don't know how that's going to work. We'll see. But, I mean, short arm people – you know, can make plays. I mean, Melvin Ingram, mm-hmm. you know, is not a long guy, NFL player. You know what I'm saying? It's all about developing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not that down on it. Could we say
that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, in other words, make it help your linebackers out by making that front four as strong as possible and have those guys make plays. Now again, you can do some schemes up front to hopefully, you know, basically stop the run. You're gonna basically have to sell out. You know what I mean? Sell out for the run and hope it works for you. That'll work against most teams, except for, like, you know, but when you get into mobile quarterbacks and stuff like that, I think you can get bit, you know, in the long run. But I think that's kind of the only hope in it. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying hopefully your front four is much improved. I don't think you want to put Gaynor on the front four, but I think they will blitz him a little bit more than what, you know. They'll blitz him more. And we saw that some last year. Mm-hmm. But they'll blitz him more to kind of help out, to help that middle spot out. So, yeah, I do think that's what you're saying is, I would imagine, would be the only strategy at this point.
Yeah, they still got Jared Jackson. He's going to play more defensive tackle, I think, though. Mm-hmm. I want to get into this question. He might pick the start in spite of his track. Okay, yeah. So we already talked about Travis starting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something I did here, and I don't know how true this is. But they said Chubble actually is not on campus. I mean, I don't know if he's can he come back to campus or not, but I know for a fact that he did go home. And I don't know if he's came. I don't know if he's come back.
He's injured. I thought he was injured, though.
No? I mean, I'm gonna say that his dad made him come home, from what I heard. I mean, I heard that, you know, he's not quite that focused. And he's having a great. He's enjoying the Tallahassee experience, and they wanted him to stop enjoying the Tallahassee experience a little bit and get focused. And I think that might be why he's not practicing. But it might be a shoulder too. It could be a shoulder too. And also,
So let me try to, I guess, dissect. So let's say it is the shoulder, right? That means you're not really able to play. And usually what happens is, all right, well, I can't play. I'm not really going. I don't have to, you know, practice right now because I'm, you know, I'm rehabbing or I'm injured or whatever.
Right.
That kind of leads to, all right, I'm going to kind of enjoy some of the off-campus perks a little bit because, you know, I don't really have to focus on football right now. So I can see it. You know what I mean? If he is injured, he could have, you know, kind of gotten to the off-campus life, and then there it is. I mean, I said hurt his shoulder doing a keg stand. That's funny.
From what I heard, that's just what I heard. Like,
it's not out of. I mean,
shit, he's enjoying the college experience. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I've been to Tallahassee a few times. I understand what's happening over there. I mean,
right. And I mean, and if he don't see a path in which he's gonna start, because maybe he, man, I'm gonna tell you something, man. Game recognize game quick, man. Game recognize game. And when you look at players that might be outperforming you, you know, you might feel like shit.
Yeah, but I mean, Chubb, here's the only thing. We seen Rotemaker. Yeah. Rotemaker was bad. Rotemaker shouldn't have been the guy who scared off Chubb.
I'm not getting into that conversation because
I'm just saying, yeah, look, Rotemaker threw the worst pick in FSU history. There can't be an interception worse than that pick that Rotemaker threw out. There's not one. I don't believe we've ever seen one.
I mean, Chris Ricks got some really nice ones now.
No. This think about the competition. We were playing an FCS school. This man came in on his first snap, dropped back, stared down a receiver,
yeah,
and threw the laziest, softest out route to the FCS guy. And the FCS guy picked it off and took it. Like, the easiest thing, he was like, man, this dude throwing it. I'm standing right here. Yeah. Like, it was the worst pick I've ever seen in my life. So the idea that Rotemaker is now number two ahead of Mackenzie Milton and ahead of Chubba Purdy. Chubba Purdy's not off campus. Come on, man. Like,
yeah, that's bad shit right there. I want to answer this next question. There's a lot of respect put on Storm's name, but from the reports on the timeline, how non-physical imposing we looked yesterday. How far is this team physically from competing at the standard? Our standard is competing for national championships and winning the ACC.
Right.
We're a long ways away from that. And something else I heard that kind of bothered me. Somebody said to me that the guys since Norvell has been here have been in pads. Like pretty much every practice, they in pads and they hit every practice, right? Which in modern college football, that doesn't really happen like that anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like in modern college football, that don't happen a lot. So I do think that Norvell recognized that this team lacked physicality, but I also think he's kind of grinding them into the dirt a little bit too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, that's one of those. I mean, we've seen that from Tom Coughlin. You know what I mean? We've seen that from like in the NFL game. We've seen it from maybe even Doug Marrone at the NFL game.
Well, no, Doug was a little bit more relaxed on that type of stuff.
Tom wanted that way, and he kind of was like, all right, well, I'll try it your way.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, like, that's one of those high-risk, low-reward type of situations.
Right,
because what happens is those get hit, man. By the time the season comes, you've been in pads for 8 months.
Yeah,
you burnt out by the time the season comes, and it doesn't work well for you. I think if that's the case, you know what I mean. They in pads a whole lot more. I don't think that works well for them. What I will say about Storms though, this team is just not physical. I don't think it has something to do with their strength and program, but it's not because I don't want to say, I think it's too early to put it on Storms. they didn't have physicality before Storms ever got there. And so right now he's trying to get these guys physical. And it's gonna take a while. And it's gonna take it's gonna take more than 1 year to get these guys up. You gotta think about it. Like Bama's table didn't start like year one. Bama's table is now Bama's table because they got to this point where now everybody, you know what I mean? They cycling in these guys. They got a program. They got a
regimen. First of all,
it takes you a minute to develop. That level of strength program. We don't have a strength program. We got a weightlifting program.
But I mean, let me say this shit. So this idea that these strength conditioning programs are doing all these, these strength and conditioning programs are doing all this amazing, innovative stuff. I mean, there is something to that, but you also got to recruit physicality. You know what I'm saying? You have to go get physical guys.
Find a kid that look like a grown man in high school and get him. Yeah, look at the Bama kids when they come out of high school, they look like college players.
Like Tim Jernigan,
you get high school players that look like high school players.
Somebody told me the day Tim Jernigan stepped on the campus at FSU, he was pretty much outlifting everybody on the team.
Right.
I'm just saying, it's a different caliber. You got to recruit that. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Now, I think what happens is with some of these college football programs, like the Alabama's, Ohio State, what they do is they find a way to take that body and that ability to play at a high level to extend that level of high play from you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So where a guy might play really good in the second quarter, and now he kind of slides off in the third and fourth quarter, have a hard time getting started in the first quarter. Alabama and Ohio State have their guys kind of ready to play all four quarters of a football game, right? They're physically able to have the endurance to play four quarters of a football game to get through a week of practice. And you also can't develop physicality unless you got depth on your team, right? Right. I think
him in full pads. You don't have depth to have your guys in full pads all year round.
Right.
Because when the season comes, those guys going to be burnt out and you ain't got nobody behind them to say, all right, you know,
My point is this. When Willie was coaching in 18 and 19, 18 and 19, right? Yeah, 18 and 19. When Willie coached 18 and 19, people kept saying the practices was too slow. It seemed like part one of practices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked somebody about this. I said, why is the practice so slow? Why do the practices seem like part one of practices? What is this about? Why don't they practice hard, right? And the guy told me, he said, the strength and conditioning coach that they had did grind those guys, but FSU has a strict compliance on lifting weights because FSU had a player that died.
Mm.
Okay? FSU had a player that died doing workouts, okay? Yep. That really happened. So I don't know. So I think FSU compliance on how you work kids out in the off season and during the season, there were some restrictions there under the coaches, under the FSU infrastructure. It was, you know what I'm saying? So they told me that, and then they also told me that if you look at the depth chart when Willie got here, it wasn't a lot of good players on the team. Right. So a guy beating a walk-on all day really wasn't learning anything. So you needed good on good. But to do good on good, you ain't got enough depth to do good on good. You know what I'm saying?
They didn't have enough depth to do actual scrimmage at one point.
Right. Remember? Right.
Like,
so
like the offensive line had to switch teams or whatever it is each time because they couldn't even do an actual, you know, spring game or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So that has a lot to do with how you develop guys, because you got to have depth because you don't want to kill guys. You know, Jimbo had depth to a certain point where he would sit guys out. Cause remember they had the little monitors in their back where if a guy overextended himself for so many days, Jimbo actually sit guys in practice for 2 or 3 days and they would just do rehab and cool downs. That's all they did. You know what I'm saying? Like getting guys ready to play a football game, it takes a lot. So this ideal of physicality is that's about depth. You got to develop depth. You got to go recruit it. So it's hard to get
from
all
a Jimbo standpoint, right? It also comes along with, but from a Jimbo standpoint, he had seen it at the top level, so he understood what you needed. Yeah.
Darlin's death was a big deal. And I think, I don't even know if they even finished paying that whole lawsuit out yet. So they might still be on some type of compliance on how they work kids out. I'm just telling you what I was told. People can look into that. That's something that I was told. I don't know how true all that is, but it made sense to me when I asked about the practices, the weightlifting, and why a team looked the way they look. It just made sense to me.
Who is the nutritionist? And how come our 230 pound line? How come my 230 pounders don't look like other schools' 230 pounders? And I mean, it's what Sam just said. You're recruiting different 230 pounders. Like, you know, again, 230 looks different on different kids. You know what I mean? If I'm 230 pounds of solid muscle and I'm just 230 pounds, 230 pounds looks different on everybody. And so what we're looking at is their 230 pounds look like, because those are five-star top athletes who've been in good programs and have trained their whole lives.
Yeah.
Versus our 230-pound guys who was a decent player at his school, but he wasn't, you know, the greatest. You know, and we're just not at that level yet. Now, again, hold on a second. I think we are getting – this last recruiting class, I do think we're coming closer to it. You've heard me mention Travis Hunter like every podcast now. Every single Saturday, this dude lines up. He's the best player on the field.
Right.
And so he's going to come in, and he's going to be the best player on Florida State the day he walks on this campus.
Right.
Period. And that's what you got to get into recruiting more of those guys. Because once you get those guys in your program and you keep getting those guys in your program, that's how you end up with a better roster and a better team.
Right. And I think that when you're talking about – another problem we got is the lower level recruits that you're recruiting, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're forcing those lower level recruits to contribute early. So they're not getting time to develop. And like, for instance, Maurice Smith, right? I think mm-hmm. Maurice Smith is a good player, right? But if you put Maurice Smith on the same timetable as Brian Stark, right? Stark didn't play until year three.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So by the time Stark started playing in year three, Stark had gained his weight. He had got to a point where he could maintain his strength. And by the time, I mean, Stark was all world center for FSU. But when you start rushing guys to play early, and then another thing that people don't know is in the offseason, they call it surgery, like it's like cut season. Players get their shoulders cut, they go in there and clean it up, surgery, they get that stuff cleaned out, right? Because they've been playing, so now they got some damage. They got damages in their body. They have to get this stuff cleaned out. When a guy doesn't play, he doesn't have to worry about that. So he gets a full 2 to 3 seasons of good work, you know, to get bigger, to get stronger, to get faster. But if a guy is tearing his shoulder up in his freshman year, his sophomore year, he's not getting that offseason to get stronger. You know what I'm saying? So it hurts your development. And that's what we have a problem at right now. We haven't brought in – we got recruits leaving because they didn't like this coach or that coach. And then you're bringing in a lower class of kids. And it's just one big cycle of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's making the rebuild a lot longer too.
It's funny you mentioned that and players not playing after, you know what I mean, until like year three. Because it's funny, we got mad at Jimbo because of that.
Right.
Now, I thought he did it to a fault sometimes, you know what I mean, because they were players like, you know – I ain't gonna name players. They were players who we thought could have played and contributed as freshmen. But Jimbo was set on, you're probably not gonna see this field for at least 2 years.
Well, Jimbo, but when you look back at Jimbo though, and I know we did believe that, I disagree with that point a lot with people. But if you look at like Rashad Green, for instance, mm-hmm. Rashad Green came in, Rashad Green was ready to play, he played Rashad Green. LaMarcus Joyner was ready to play, he played LaMarcus Joyner's first year.
Yeah, but I mean, he also didn't play what's the guy who just left field? Wide receiver who just left.
You finna name Tamarion Terry? You think Tamarion Terry's gonna play?
His year one? Yeah, I do.
No, he wasn't.
From a talent standpoint, you didn't need him to do much.
Just because he's fast.
You didn't have no receivers. You didn't have any receivers. I didn't say he was going to be great. I didn't say he was going to be Rashad Green, but he also was going. But he would have been able to contribute a little bit when you did not have any receivers whatsoever. You didn't need to have this guy sitting on your bench. Yeah. And so, in my opinion, again, that's one player, but there was several others like that who was, he's just the most recent. But there were several other players who I said, man, why is this dude playing? And when he finally got a chance to put, matter of fact, Nooney Murray was very much like that. Nooney Murray was definitely like that.
But mentally,
Nooney was mentally there. So okay. Nooney wasn't going to never mentally be the player y'all wanted him to be. But Nooney was a difference maker. And we kept saying, Nooney, every time Jimbo at, man, Nooney's killing it in practice. And we kept saying, why ain't Nooney seeing the field? And the moment Nooney saw the field, Nooney was a difference maker. Right. And so that's all I'm saying.
But then Nooney also he was turned a problem. Out
to be more, he was a problem. But he turned out to be more right about the – I didn't say that to say he was wrong in it. I know it kind of went that way. I was right. saying he actually seemed more right in most of the time in the sense of these guys needed a chance to develop behind the scenes so that when you got in the game, it wasn't even a case of whether or not you can contribute
right.
because you've not been in the program. You now got the body. You got everything completely – you know what I mean? You got everything – completely there. You know the system, you know the program, you got the body to play and everything. But now when you throw a freshman out here who was 230 pounds, who was a three-star guy, who wasn't really talented, and you ask him to go contribute, he don't have the body, which means he's probably going to get injured. That sets back his trajectory because now he got to spend a year rehabbing, trying to fix himself. Now it's year three before he played. He done lost 2 years of competition, and he's basically you starting a freshman, but he's a junior. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so it's very important that you do, like you said, you develop, you get enough depth to where you can absolutely – you know, put these guys in your system, not immediately, but, you know, year two or year three. Yeah, that morning Magnolia point is absolutely on point.
Yeah, I think – let me put this point up here.
Yeah.
When you miss on a whole recruiting class as FSU did that it last year with Jimbo.
Yeah, when you miss on a whole recruiting class as FSU did the last year with Fisher because of lack of recruiting, it takes 2 years to fix for every bad. And he's right. There's your depth problem. And you're right. That absolutely started with that last year. And we broken that down with some of everybody. You know, where we talked about how that really started a snowball effect. So
right, right. And I think that I guess my bigger point with that would be this. I'm okay if FSU don't play any of the true freshmen this year. You know what I'm saying? Because you're gonna lose. Anyway, so yep. I'm okay with you not playing those guys until they're absolutely ready to play, right?
You can do more than hurt them. Don't hurt.
So and with that being said, I guess I'm okay with the practices being physical too, because you got to get the younger guys ready to go for these coming years. But we got to find a way to implement to get these guys to play good and implement the system and get everybody going. I think that's a task for Norvell right now. Cause I think guys are kind of beat down. They are tired. You know what I'm saying? It's not a deep team. There's not 65 good football players on this team. It's not 45 good football players on this team.
I think they need to see early success. And I believe if they end up seeing some early success, this team will play a little different. I think honestly, mentally, maybe the bigger problem with Florida State football team is not necessarily even the physical aspect of it. I think it's mental as well. You know what I mean? Like, I look at these guys, and who on this team is actually experienced winning?
Yeah, that's true too. That's true.
Not a single player. Nobody can look and go to and say, "Oh man, I was there when." At least with, you know, Wilson, he had a look. You know what I mean? He was able to say, "All right, we did something." You don't have none of that now.
Yeah.
You don't have nothing but people who have seen losing and experienced losing. You got nobody who can look at that and say that they've been a part of something. So I think for anything, they gotta get some wins early, man. I think that Notre Dame game is super important. I don't think they're gonna win it, but I think they gotta be able to compete and then come back and they gotta win. They gotta experience some winning in order to see it. Because if not, I don't know who on this team can look to and say, "Hey, man, we better." This isn't Florida State. You know what I mean? Who is that guy who's going to look and say, "Man, this isn't Florida State. This is how we operate here." And you don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough because you want to see the team
right
win and you want to be optimistic and believe that you can win games and stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, you are what you are. You know what I'm saying? You are what you are as a team. You know what I'm saying? And I think on this podcast, I think we've made it a point not to, not a sugarcoat thing, not to have people feeling like, you know, it's going to be the greatest thing of all time and blame this and blame that. Like, it's not really about that. It's just objectively looking at the football team and saying this is what it is. And and hope that it gets better. You know what I'm saying? Right now, the thing is not in play for it to actually get better. All right, so we got other issues. There's programs like UCF are getting those hidden Florida three stars and should be four or other. Rating the state. I saw the depth chart used to get on too.
Happening for years though.
But like, I would say that we still recruiting better than what UCF is recruiting. The problem is UCF are taking 8 3 stars and putting them on the bench for 2 years, and by the time they play in year three, year four, they're good college football players. We're taking our guys
until they got to play immediately.
And we tell them they got to play immediately. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's the funny. It's the same thing. Again, we've talked about it with teams like Wake Forest and NC State or whatever. They usually get good every 3 to 4 years.
Right. It's the reason for that.
They're gonna be good. Yeah, like when they're young, they're gonna be real sorry. But right. Then that third or fourth year, they're gonna have a team full of seniors, full of juniors and seniors. Them offensive linemen, them developed in the program. Those wide receivers, like where did this dude come from? And all of a sudden, now Wake Forest is kicking your ass. That's what UCF is. UCF, they've developed, like they've got, you know what I mean? By the time they get good, it's because they're playing juniors and seniors. They always playing juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the case with programs like UCF and some of these other small Florida schools. They, you know, it's a system now. They understand how they, you know, this is our recruiting group, and y'all gonna come here and develop for 2 3 years. And then year three or four, all right, this group that we put together, these, you know, hungry three stars that, you know, got rejected by Florida State and got rejected by Florida and got rejected by Miami, they now ready. They've now got an opportunity to play, and they've been sitting there getting better, getting bigger, getting stronger, getting faster. And they come out there and they show it. So,
all right. Well, let me see that. We got any more? Oh, we got a couple more questions coming in. I'm going to try to answer questions. I know we haven't been on the show in a minute, so I want to answer questions.
Yeah, yeah. I'm cool with it.
All right. Remember when FSU would be up so much, the younger guys, kids playing the second half, good experience, good times. Absolutely, that was good times. You know what I'm saying? You would watch Jeff Chaney, guys like that, you know, playing. You'd be like, okay, this guy's next. But, you know, we're not at that point. And another point is, the ACC is a better conference than what it was back then. You know, the ACC is a damn good conference, too.
Well, talent now, like Florida State, and then we can really get into a deep one. You used to be able to say, all right, we're going to be on TV. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. TV was a huge selling point for Florida State. I mean, anybody, I'm going to be on TV no matter what school I go to. I go to Central mm-hmm. Florida, I'm going to be on TV. I can go to South Florida, I'm going to be on TV. I can go to Cookman, I'm going to be on, like, you know what I mean? So you don't have that same, you know what I mean? I can get to the league in a multitude of different ways where it used to be, they only really took players out of Florida State, Miami, Florida, from the state of Florida.
Right.
UCF kids is going. South Florida kids are going to the league. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, the talent is now more, it's more scattered. You know what I mean? Like, people would never consider, what is it, Coastal Carolina? Was it East Carolina or whatever?
Right.
I know there's two kids from Oakleaf who are going to Coastal Carolina.
Right.
Really good wide receivers, so I thought Florida State should have recruited.
Right.
They going to Coastal Carolina because they know, look, Coastal Carolina was ranked.
Yeah.
They on TV. People see them. You know what I mean? Like, they would have never considered Coastal Carolina as even an option. But right. They are now. And so all I'm saying is, like, talent is not the same. You know what I mean? It used to be a case where, you know, everybody, like, 10 schools had all the talent.
Yeah.
Well,
And the football back then was a lot more regional, right? You know, Alabama would recruit the state of Alabama. Georgia would recruit the state of Georgia. Florida would just recruited the state of Florida. It's not
now
like
you got
that
Michigan
anymore.
Holding camps, and now you got Michigan holding camps in Florida.
Yeah.
And Ohio State holding satellite camps in Florida. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they can come in and take your players. Like, at this point, man, everybody, like, you can go. We got kids on our school from California. You know what I mean? And Tallahassee from California. We got kids from Arizona. The recruiting is not this. It ain't that pipeline. Like, you know what I mean? Like in NCAA, we had that pipeline of like three cities we can pull kids from. It ain't like that no more. Your pipeline is the United States. You can get kids from anywhere and everywhere. And coaches are sending these tapes out to anywhere and everywhere.
Right. And then you have to remember something too. You know, as football has kind of progressed, you have better coaches now. You have coaches that, you got way better coaches now than what you've had in the past. You know, it used to be that coaches would stay on the same staff for 20 years, 10 years, and these guys would be on the staff together for a long time. And it's not like that now. If a guy's a rising star, he's off to another school. And you got, I mean, Nick Saban made a big deal about this, about how it's, he feel like it's his job to develop other coaches and for his coaches to develop other coaches. And when and it makes football better. It's what give us these football games that look a lot better than what it did back then. Back then, you didn't, man, I think you would get a great game back then, like every once in a blue moon, you would get like a great game, Florida State versus Florida, sometimes Auburn versus Alabama, like these SEC games. But I mean,
those were paycheck games for the mother schools that wasn't Florida, Miami. Right. Like, the mother teams were showing up just to get their paycheck and go home. They know they were getting stunk from the moment they got off the bus.
Right. But I'm saying, like, go look at like the Raging Cajuns with Billy Napier's team. You know what I'm saying? Like they play a good grade of football. If you watch them, it's schematically they sound, they look good. It's a lot of good coaches now. It's not like it was back then. It's not all the good coaches are not on just one staff no more. They don't just stay there for 5-10 years. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like that no more. You know?
It is, man. Like the days of Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno's, man, those guys are.
And if you look at it, like if you got a rising star on your staff. You know what I'm saying? Like like Florida State had Kirby Smart on their staff as a GA. You know, Kirby Smart was here for a minute. You know what I'm saying? And now that doesn't happen. If you got a rising star that goes into these other coaches' clinics and he shows that he's a rising star, he's immediately hired to be a position coach somewhere, you know, at a lower level, and then becomes a defensive coordinator at a lower level, then he's hired as a position coach at Alabama, you know. It's just different now, man. It's different, and you can't expect. It's never going back to the old days. You know what I'm saying? It's never going back. You know that run. Like when you look back at it now, that run Florida State had 97, 98, 99 to play in three straight national championships. That run, that's an amazing run. I mean, we're watching Alabama do something that's just flat out ridiculous. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what we watch on Alabama doing
clock right work now. Over there.
Yeah. I mean, a bad year for them is losing in the playoffs. That's a down year. You know what I'm saying? So, and I mean, they're in the game. They're in that. It's a different stratosphere. It's just different. Man. That's all I can say. But we're not. Florida State's not going back to that. You know, it's just not. So,
yeah, they're gonna have to compete. They're gonna have to compete in a lot more games than they used to, unless again you end up with another team that That was rival to that the championship team. I mean, you get a Jameis with all that talent around it, then you know.
Yeah.
But those teams are few and far between. Even Alabama, you know, has tough games now. You know what I mean? In their conference, they'll it's different now, man. Yeah. Hello. Before you get to Kenneth's, Morning Magnolia said something on that.
I'm sorry.
Recruiting. Yeah. He was saying, and we talked about it. We said this. You know what I'm saying? Like. If you got two guys, why it's very similar to the Chubba Purdy, Jeff Sims conversation, right? You got two guys who are equal talent. Take the one in Florida. That in my opinion, I thought it was a given. You know what I mean? I know Norvell had his ties to Chubba and so on and so forth, but. You didn't want to burn a bridge, and I don't want to get back into it, but you didn't want to burn a bridge with the guy who was not only who his QB coach was, who's a local guy in Jacksonville, who develops a lot of top tier quarterbacks in this area. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to burn that bridge, but not only that, you didn't want to burn that pipeline to a school like Sandalwood is a big school who usually has a lot of talent come out of it. We've had some players play, you know what I mean, who played for Florida State, who you know came out of Sandalwood High School. So when you look at it and you say, I got an option here to essentially burn a bridge at a school and with a coach, with a high school coach in Florida, so that I can take this kid out of Arizona. This kid out of Arizona is now here, based on what we're hearing, is no longer back in, you know, is now back home in Arizona.
Right.
And has not played. Meanwhile, Jeff Sims started as a freshman. I think you – you can argue and talk about the talent and who was better and he wasn't good and this, that, and the third. But I think from a recruiting standpoint, you absolutely needed to make that decision. You needed to bring in the kid from Florida versus the kid from West Lane, whether he fit your style or anything like that, just so you can maintain some of the connections to Florida that you don't have right now. And so in my opinion, I thought that was a bad decision just from
you know what? That decision to not take Jeff Sims is gonna hunt him, because you look at Jeff Sims' development, bro. You seen these pictures of him throwing the football now? He looked like
I mean, look at his body. He's filled out. He
looked like a totally different player now, bro. He looked like a totally and our player, the guy that we chose is doing keg stands, and the guy they chose is
right, is in the gym. And that's all I'm saying. Like, you can make a lot. There's a lot of decisions that you can make as a coach. I'm going with forget the talent. Why? We knew both of these guys were equal in talent. Like, just on a recruiting standpoint, forget what you know about them. We knew these guys were both equal in talent at this point.
All right.
Why in the world would you choose the guy from Arizona versus the kid from who was right in your backyard when you need these ties to the state of Florida? I thought it was a bad decision.
And the thing I heard that this is what I heard, because I was talking to somebody about this, I think last week, because we talked about the Jeff Sims shit, and they were, you know, talking about Chubb and shit. And he said to me, he said, you know, Norvell was turned off with Jeff because Jeff is a very cocky person. You know, Jeff is a very cocky guy. You know what I'm saying? So he was like,
that's what you want, though.
Hold on, let me finish. And he said, that lets you know that he's not used to recruiting that type of kid. Right, so that's why you see his stumbles on the recruiting trail, like that his first year. Because if you think about that, you're Memphis, right? So the kids that he was giving scholarships to was coming from JUCOs, lower level football, and they was eager, and happy, right? But when you go into a guy's locker, a guy's living room, where you know Jeff Collins has sat in his living room, Manny Diaz, probably talked to numerous coaches,
right?
Been to a lot, talked to a lot of quarterback coaches. He has a reason to be cocky,
right?
He has a reason to be cocky, like,
right? Look, man, and which is why I'm glad he off that now. Because if you look at Travis Hunter, they may not be a more cocky player. I know I'm the best, and I'm gonna show y'all I'm the best. You got to know that dude. You know what I mean? You want those kids? You know what I mean? Anyway, that's crazy to me. All right, you can go to Kenneth's question now.
Okay, and so Kenneth said, "Boom, how's our shadow staff looking nowadays? Still behind their lease, or is it getting better? It's not getting better because they got a financial. They're saying they have financial constraints. My opinion is, you can't fix the problem unless you throw money at the damn problem. That's my opinion. Throw money at the problem. Like, hire a fucking shadow staff. That's why I would have kept Nate Andrews. I'd have hired 5 more Nate Andrews. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You needed the people to put the money in the McDonald's bags.
Yeah. I mean, you need people that know how the job is done. That knows how this thing gets done. So, yeah, that just didn't happen, man. That's terrible, man. It's terrible.
What he said. We're still way behind, man. Unfortunately, we're still way behind.
I think the strength and conditioning staff has built up, though. I think they have more on that side. They've built up on that side a lot more.
I also will say, we may not even if we can get to 6 wins. And I know, like, yes, that sounds crazy compared to what people think, but if we can get to 6 wins. Travis Hunter has shown that he's recruiting for you right now. He's doing what LaMarcus Joyner did for that class. You know what I mean? Where people looked at it and said, "Oh wait, you going here? Right. If you going here, I at least consider it." Right? And then what he's doing is, not only is he like telling folks, "No, I'm going here," he's telling other kids, "Man, go. We're going to be part of the difference. We're going to be a part of what turns it around." That guy is one of those people who can get you a class that you may not have necessarily earned.
Yeah, because
you got to get to 6, but you got to get to at least 6 wins, because even with him yelling, "Hey man, listen, if I'm coming, and you know how dope I am, if I'm coming, you ain't got no reason not to come. Let's turn this thing around." But if they look at it and they see 4 wins, "My man, I feel you, but I'm gonna go over here to Alabama, where they compete for championships. Y'all gonna still be struggling." Now Hunter, he's still all in.
Yeah.
But some of these other guys, You know, and that's why I think it might, you know, and that's why I think they gotta do some winning on the football field, because Hunter can absolutely be, is basically almost is working as if he's a shadow staff. You know what I mean? He's working in that place. He's working the behind the scenes. He's talking to recruits. He's every single day, every single camp, I imagine we know he's representing Florida State, but he's also like vocally saying, man, come to Florida State.
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how that's going to go. We'll see how that's going to go. But if y'all don't have any more questions, man, I think we'll go ahead and wrap right here. I'm gonna cut this up so I won't have a question part in the actual audio podcast. So this is just something for YouTube, just people that's on YouTube.
Yep.
A spring game and what? We'll be in less than a month. Yeah, we less than a month away from the spring game. I'm really excited about that.
When the spring? I thought it was April 7th, wasn't it?
April 10th.
April 10th. Man, you less than a month. That's next Saturday. Saturday after next.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be rough,
we're
man.
2 weeks away. We're 2 weeks away.
I just dropped the link in for the listener podcast on Linktree. You can follow us on all platforms that we got, especially the audio version. If you miss half of the show, you can definitely check that out. What else I got here? Oh, you know what? I got another podcast also that I work on that I'm gonna start back up, and maybe we had to take a little break. I'm gonna drop that in the show notes right here.
Definitely y'all. Check that one out.
Check that out. It's really good. More of my political takes on there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see you, man. I definitely feel that one.
And if you got anything else, if you don't have anything else, we can wrap.
Nope. That's we're gonna end it with this one. The schedule sets up for early success for first signing and commitments. The back end though is rough. I agree. Win early, set the tone right and get you some commitments.
Yeah.
But that's it, man. We out. Hey, appreciate it, man.
Hey, we appreciate all you guys, man, tuning in. And if you see the pod in your timeline, just share it.
Retweet.
Share. Yeah, we appreciate all the support. It's really a blessing, man. So we'll be back.
You just heard the Listen Up podcast.
Some peace.